Welcome back to Chair Shots to the Cranium Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Goforth. I have got a fantastic guest for this podcast, the one and the only Austin Aries. Austin has many accolades on his resume. Ring of Honor champion, X Division champion, TNA Impact World Heavyweight Champion, WWE Cruiserweight Champion, just to name a few. He is coming on the podcast to talk about his entire career, promoting his upcoming match at UCW Universal Championship Wrestling's Super Clash on Saturday, April 27th. And we're going to dive into everything Austin Aries in this podcast. He's going to talk about how he started his career, what inspired him to get into professional wrestling, his time with Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE, all the things he experienced while in those companies, some memorable opponents, his take on the current state of the wrestling world, and what legacy does Austin Aries want to leave behind for professional wrestling fans to remember about him. This is an intriguing conversation I had with Austin, and very proud and honored that he's willing to come on the podcast, spend some time with me, and share thoughts about his career with you. So without further ado, let's go to that intriguing conversation with the amazing Austin Aries. Austin, how are you? I greatly appreciate your time, man.
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Well, we are here to not only talk about your unbelievable career in professional wrestling, but we also want to talk about the partnership that you formed with Universal Championship Wrestling, UCW. Ron Gossett is the president. You have an upcoming match on Saturday, April the 27th. It's Super Clash, 7:30 bell time in Griffin, Georgia. Your opponent is going to be Romeo Cavetto. Tell me about this match. Tell me about how you started this partnership with UCW and with Ron.
You know, I've known Ron for a number of years. I think we met when I was spending some time with DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, in the Atlanta area. I think me and Ron crossed paths there and just kind of kept in touch over the years. And he's got some big shows coming up the rest of this year. And so we got to talking about my involvement as I'm, you know, looking to fill up my calendar a little more these days. And so, yeah, we were able to come to agreement and you're looking forward to it. If you've seen the advertisement or the flyer for it, you see that there's a lot of talent, a lot of really talented men and women that are going to be on the card. Should be a big night of action. And yeah, I've got a first time matchup. You know, he had a nice, promo, you know, some content that he filmed. Yeah. Real professional looking, right? Yeah, looks like multiple camera angles. I'm not gonna have anything that fancy if I respond. I'm a little more old school in my approach. I tell you what, man, the new generation of talent, what they're able to do with their social media tools and promoting themselves and creating their own promo packages, it's pretty mind blowing.
No doubt. I mean, have you started to incorporate social media into your life there and how you promote yourself and your matches?
I've done the opposite, actually. I've moved away from social media in the last, say 3 to 5 years, 4 years, something like that, right? I've moved away from it, to be quite honest, for the better. You know, sometimes it's easy to forget that social media isn't real life.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and so we can get a little too caught up in these opinions of people who we've never met, that we'll never meet, that don't know us, good or bad, right? Either good and you let the ego get in and start feeling yourself, or in a negative way and you start to let it really affect you. So, you know, it's one of those, to me, it's like one of the necessary evils of, you know, what I do in the entertainment business of self-promoting now. You know, my job is to promote myself and the shows I'm on as much as it is to go and perform at the shows, which is something that's different than when I first broke in the business. So there's a learning curve there. And I just think it's about making sure that I'm putting as much effort into putting on a quality match, performance, show, you know, competition, spectacle, whatever you want to call it, when the bell rings, right? As much as I do hyping it up on social media.
Let's talk about
But
your. Go ahead.
yeah, I was just gonna say, but no, but I'm looking forward to it, right? Like he's well spoken. He's got some charisma. He's been doing this for a while. He's trying to break through, right? He's trying to get noticed, and he's gonna have a bit of a test in front of him, and we're gonna lock it up and see what happens.
Listen, I'm extremely excited about the match. I mean, not only knowing your unbelievable history and your abilities in the ring. This young upstart, and like you said, done a great job with promoting this match, and you can tell he's hyped for it. This is going to be an outstanding match on April 27th.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about your career. Let's look a little, take a little trip down memory lane. You mentioned
All
about when
right.
you started in the business. Talk about how that happened.
Oh man, that you're going back a ways now, right?
Yeah.
I'm starting to become the guy in the locker room that people come up and say, "Hey, I grew up watching you. I remember when I was back in high school," or whatever the case may be. So yeah, 2000, I had the opportunity to start training in Minneapolis. I just tried the college thing for a couple of years, and that really wasn't the direction I was wanted to go. Didn't know what I was going to do with my life, and then there it was—the opportunity to get in the ring and train with Eddie Sharkey and Terry Fox up in Minneapolis. Knew the name Eddie Sharkey from training the Road Warriors and Rick Rude and a lot of the guys from the Minnesota area in the early 80s. And so, yeah, I started in 2000, 3 days a week, 4 or 5 hours a day, just really repetitive, basic, fundamental things over and over and over until it was really muscle memory. And then just kind of went out and, again, pre-social media, having to actually physically go out and drive to new radiuses and promote yourself really at shows, and networking. And I mean, that was it. I really never looked back. I wanted to do this to as my job, and so that's what I pursued. I moved around and picked up different opportunities leading into Ring of Honor, and from that point on, I really was able to, do this as a career.
And it just always fascinates me to hear the back history there because, I mean, of course, everyone knows how successful you were in your career and still are. But a lot of people forget about, okay, how did this all start? Because, you know, there may be someone listening to this podcast and thinking about becoming a professional wrestler and hear your story and like, okay, gosh, you know, he did this. Maybe I can do this too. You know, I mean, it's
Yeah,
inspirational to
man.
hear that backstory.
Yeah, I had $500 to my name, and I was lucky enough to, be able to make a deal with the trainers to give them half and then make payments every week. And my buddy let me move up on his couch with them until I had something more permanent. And I started giving plasma twice a week because it was like, it was money, it was like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's paying my camp dues, working like, temp jobs, like whatever, right? I mean, man, there was no GoFundMe, right? You kind of had to go fund yourself. And so, yeah, but that was it. But to be able to chase this and do this, with the opportunity to have it, become a steady gig, it was worth it, right? It was worth
Yeah.
it. So if this is something you really love and you pursue it and you invest in it, you'll see example after example of people who are successful because for no other reason than they just put time in and they just love the craft and they just kept putting one foot in front of the other moving forward.
You talk about how times have changed. I can remember, I'm going to date myself here a little bit. I started Chair Shots to the Cranium roughly late 2000, early 2001. I can remember
Okay.
writing columns back then. You know, that's how you promoted
Right.
the
Yeah.
wrestlers. You know, you wrote a column, you gave an opinionated, you know, column about a particular match, or I did interviews and things like that in columns that you just, you know, promoted on websites out there. That's how
Sure.
you got the word out, other than the wrestling magazines. And here we are
Yeah.
evolving, like you said, to social media and all this stuff. And it's but no, I can remember Colt Cabana as an example. Colt
Yep.
Cabana had a interview with him way back then, 2000, 2001. Kind of dropped CM Punk's name at that time, and nobody knew who CM Punk was. just like nobody knew who Austin Aries was at that point, you know? And it's like, you know, you build a name for yourself, you grind, you work, you constantly put yourself out there, match after match after match. And that's what I respect so much. If you want to call it your era, I respect so much about that because it had to be that hard work put in order to make a name for yourself. And not to say that the guys and ladies coming up now don't have to work hard. Of course they do, but it was just a different time back then, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we were just all young and dumb, you know, but had a ton of heart and a lot of like untapped potential and talent, as you see what everyone from that era has gone on to do, respectively in their careers, right? You know, really shaped this last decade. So, we all got to start somewhere, and you know, I was just fortunate enough and grateful to have so many talented people around me to help sharpen my toolkit, you know. And man, just a lot of talented people I've been able to share the ring with.
Let's continue down this memory lane. Ring of Honor 2004.
Yeah.
Great time for you when you started out in Ring of Honor in 04. Talk about that time. What are some memorable moments that stood out to you, whether it's moments or opponents you had during that? Well, I guess at that time was your first stint in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, man. Wow. Having to go back into the memory vault and pull back some memories. I mean, listen, like it's just, you know, I'll always be grateful to Gabe Sapolsky for, you know, giving me the opportunity, putting me in the position he did, again, to wrestle with a bunch of talented people to get better. And yeah, I mean that time is what really put me on the map and allowed me to, you know, do this in a international level. And yeah, I mean, you can go through the who's who of names that were going through at that time, from, you know, Samoa Joe to, you know, Bryan Danielson to CM Punk, you know, the Briscoe brothers, Jay Lethal. I mean, there's just, I'm gonna keep forgetting people. There was just so many, right? That came through there. AJ Styles was coming through there. It was just everybody, you know. So you can look back at that era and see how influential it became into the style that we now look at today as, you know, kind of pro wrestling that we even see on television.
Any particular matches that maybe stood out to you during that time? Any moments? It's like, you know what? I'll never forget that.
I mean, obviously the Samoa Joe match for the world title was a, you know, was a moment, an emotion, you know.
I mean, personally,
There's
that's
like,
one of my favorite moments is the Samoa Joe match. I mean, our match is, I mean, unbelievable.
yeah, I mean, and just, you know, all the credit to Joe for what he did for the title and just for the, you know, talent he is, but to make the title and beating him make it mean so much, you know, and then for us to put a story together, that genuinely got people invested and I think caught a lot of people off guard. Yeah, you know, I a little later on had, you know, had like a feud with Jimmy Jacobs where we had like a, you know, chain dog collar match and an I quit match. And those were kind of memorable because I hadn't really done anything like that. You know, most of my career was centered around good matches that didn't always have a lot of depth, maybe storyline wise. And so those matches with Jimmy brought out a different side of me that kind of stand out.
Let's keep fast forwarding here. TNA, roughly 2005, you go to TNA. Let's talk about that. What took you to TNA? And tell me about your time there.
Oh yeah, I mean originally just an opportunity, right? At the time there was no issue working for both companies. That did change at a certain point and then became a little more difficult and more politics involved. But initially it was just there for an opportunity. And yeah, you know, it was again, a lot of talent there too, and a different style. a little more of the, it was run differently than Ring of Honor was, right? And so it was getting used to a different style of business as far as wrestling goes, you
Well,
know, and
you had time
yeah.
there with TNA, and you had time with Impact. Tell me the big differences there between those two.
Well, I mean, it's just even at the time of TNA, it just kind of mattered like who was in charge, right? I was their different parts are long enough to where I worked under different type of, you know, regimes or people that were kind of calling the shots, you know. So each one just was a little different. And I think if you go back and watch the product, you know, you'll kind of see that too. But again, you know, it's TV wrestling and it's great. It was great experience and great exposure. And again, getting to work with a lot of talented people, including the, you know, including the production crew and things like that, and learning that side of pro wrestling, right? And appreciating that. So yeah,
Let's
have,
fast
you know,
forward a
had a
little.
lot of fun there.
Yeah, let's fast forward a little bit to 2011. X Division champion. And I got to be honest with you, Austin, I absolutely loved that X Division. It was just, to me, I think it revolutionized the wrestling industry, just the type of matches that you guys put on, and it was just mind-blowing to me at that time. Talk to me about that X Division. You proudly held that championship. What did that mean to you?
Well, I mean, it was something that I look at it a little bit, you know, WCW had the cruiserweights,
Right.
you know, and came in and filled a certain part of the card, the night of entertainment that was providing a little more high octane, a little more high flying, a little quicker, you know, a few more risks taken, you know, more athletics, right? And so the X Division was really, you know, TNA's version of that, except for they didn't, you know, at certain points didn't really adhere to any weight restrictions. It was just more of a style. Right. And so if you worked that style, then you worked in the X division if you wanted. You know, that's how you had guys like Samoa Joe at some points, like in the X division, having X division matches. So yeah, you know, and I think it was, it's an opportunity for guys that maybe aren't looked at initially as guys that could carry the company and be on top and be the world champion. And it's a title that if you can use, if you can take it, you can elevate it, and you can use that sometimes as momentum to get an opportunity. We've seen multiple guys do that, from AJ Styles to Chris Sabin to myself. I'm sure I'm missing some. You know, I think, you know, Samoa Joe had both. So yeah, it's, you know, so if you look historically, again, it's just, it's another title that allows you the opportunity to show what kind of champion you can be. And in that division, physically, it's probably one of the most demanding divisions to have to be able to defend a title and being champion of, for the level of physicality and risks that you're taking in night in, night out.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it clearly sets you up for the TNA Heavyweight Championship, which you, I thought, had a very successful run with. Talk to me about that. What were your feelings about your reign as the TNA champion? I know Hogan was a little bit involved there as well at that time. And how much influence did he have in your career?
Yeah, you know, it was a great, you know, a great accomplishment to be in that position. There was a lot of moving parts at that time. So I feel like I didn't feel like my reign really ever like took off or I really ever got going. It kind of got a little sidetracked. And I lost the title before I felt I really had a chance to maybe establish myself and do some cool things that I was hoping to do. You know, getting to work with Hogan, I mean, the guy's a legend. He's seen everything. Good businessman, you know. So there's a lot to learn. And so, you know, getting to work in the ring with him, you know, getting, you know, being able to kind of get to know him a little bit and be able to chat with him and bounce some ideas off him and things like that. Obviously very beneficial.
Well, yeah, your reign as TNA champion may not have been, or may not have had the longevity, or the you may have not had the reign that you wanted there. But to me, at that time, I felt like that really elevated you, at least in my eyes. You know, I see you win this championship, and you'd been X Division champion. You win the TNA Heavyweight Championship. I'm like, all right, this guy's here. He's made it. They've finally given him the respect I felt like you deserved. That was my take on it.
Yeah, well, I feel if you so when you look at the rain, the most memorable moment and the best moment of the rain is the moment I won it, right? Which was a great moment. And for me, you know, yeah, it there was a level of validation that went with that, whether it was for myself or for other people and how they viewed me, kind of as you said, right? Like how you viewed me in the landscape.
2016, you make a trip to WWE and you also get involved with the NXT brand. Had a stint as a comment in a, on a commentary role in WWE. Talk about your time there. What led you to WWE? How did that all transpire? Talk to me about your time there.
After leaving TNA, again, just opportunity. There was an opportunity there that there hadn't been previously. And you absolutely have to explore it. It's the pinnacle of what we do in this industry, right?
Sure.
So of course you want to go there, you want to prove yourself, you want to, you know, etch your name and history, all these things. And so, you know, I think I was there about 18 months in total. I packed a lot in, man.
You
I'll say
did.
that.
You
And you
did.
know, a lot of people come up and say, "Oh, you know, I wish that, you know, you would have got to do more there," or you know, things like of that. They didn't use you right. This and all these things. And it's like, I don't know. Like it might have been the perfect run. Like just kind of 18 months. I got in. I got out. I got a great experience. It was a whirlwind for sure. I learned a lot. You know, yeah, I had the injury to the eye that led me, you know, like in a blessing, like led me to commentary and got to learn that side of things just a little bit, right? But getting to sit in the production truck and listen to traffic and then be on the headsets and have, you know, traffic and cues and all these things and see how it's done at the highest level was a great experience. And, you know, in some ways, and that indirectly led me to the feud with Neville you know, our match at WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, so all this kind of packed in 18 months, where at one point I didn't feel like I had a lot of direction, and then, you know, things worked out and you know, in a wonderful manner, you know, and then it was over, you know, and that was okay, you know.
What kind of leads me to my next question, your WrestleMania match
Yeah.
that you had with Neville. Talk to me about that. How was that moment for you?
I mean, yeah, you know, you take it in for a moment and you feel it and you try to be present and right there and in it, and then you go to work, you know. And I think I'm an emotions guy, and so when you're in front of that many people, you know, there's a lot of energy there to feed off of and to use. And then, you know, I'm in there with a super talented, you know, human being, you know, who, you know, had a chip on his shoulder too and wanted to go out and prove that, you know, he's one of the best talents in that company. So, you know, we went out there with pride and, you know, kind of kicking off that night
Yeah,
in
hell
front
of
of
a
a large
match.
house
Hell
and,
of a match.
you know, and went out there and, you know, did what we do, you know. And yeah, I thought we had a really good match. Was happy with it, you know. And yeah, that dude's super talented, right? He's the full package,
Yeah,
you know.
no
And
doubt.
so yeah.
At any point during your commentary role in WWE, did you stop and think, okay, wait a minute? Maybe I'm damn good at this, and maybe I need to start doing this going forward.
Well, the thought crossed my mind. Well, not that I'm damn good at this, but like, oh, like if I could, like if I'm not bad at this, I'll say this. It's one thing to go into it knowing, okay, you're going to be on here for, whatever it is, a couple of months until you're, cleared to wrestle, and really going on here is in a way is like giving me, they're giving a spotlight to me, and they're letting me build up a character. And but when you settle in as just a commentator, like your mindset has is different, right? Because there's no angle payoff, right? So you got to shift it a little bit and really just and get in. And so I got a really easy introduction to commentary because I didn't have to do a lot of heavy lifting. I just kind of got to call a match while I would put a couple things in there to put myself over, and hopefully not at the expense of the action or anybody else. But yeah, it's fun. And when you start getting older, you start looking at all these other areas where you might be able to bring some value, things that still allow you to enjoy being a part of the spectacle of pro wrestling. That's maybe different than being in the ring.
2018, you said, you know what? I'm going back to TNA, Impact Wrestling at that time. You defeated Eli Drake, better known now as LA Knight in WWE, for that championship. Talk to me about that time. What led you back to Impact? I mean, you clearly said there's a it was different there between difference there between Impact and TNA. But what led you back there? And tell me about your time there as the champion again.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, just it's really a crazy time, right? The post WWE. And we see it when a lot of guys leave there, guys or girls, when talent leaves there, they're in demand, highly in demand, depending on who you are. And so I've been doing a lot of traveling in 2018, a lot of international dates, and started collecting these championships from these different promotions. And then the opportunity to come back to TNA, was put on the table, and to have a championship match, kind of impromptu one, like right out of the gate. And yeah, and so that's what took us there, and it's one of those things where it's again, you're grateful you put in that position, but for Eli Drake, or LA Knight now, sure, for him it probably wasn't like how he envisioned that happening, but element of surprise, dress shoe drop kick in the forehead and brain buster, and there I was, a shock and a surprise, the new once again Impact World Champion.
Best brain buster in the business, if I may say so.
Well, I appreciate that. I studied guys that did it much better than me, like Eddie Guerrero. Jimmy Garvin had a little different style. There's a few different guys that had some good brain busters. Coco Beware.
Arn Anderson had a good one. He was
Arn Anderson had a good one. He didn't use it a ton.
no.
He went to a more of a flapjack after a while, where he just dumped the guy on their face. It was probably safer.
No doubt.
Yeah, but yeah, no, he did. Coco Beware had one. There's some different guys that had some different styles, but I found something that worked for me, I was comfortable with, that was effective, and just keep it simple.
Yeah,
Stick with what
dude,
works.
you did it well. You did it very well.
Well, that did it. I still do it, bro. It
Yeah,
did it
well,
well.
they're gonna find out at
Yeah, I was gonna
UCW
say, you better
Super
come to this
Clash,
show. You
April
see, I still
27th.
do it
They're gonna see a hell of
well.
a brain buster on Cavetto.
Man, the guy's over here reading my eulogy. Jesus. And now yeah.
So current state of wrestling, man. Tell me what your thoughts are on that. current state right now, where we are with the business. I mean, you've seen it and its ups and downs, where it's at currently. What's your opinion?
Well, it's I'm gonna say it seems like, because I don't follow and I don't watch a lot of products. I do follow along enough to be somewhat educated about what's happening, but I don't watch enough product to make comments about things like that. With it feels like wrestling's at least WWE. Their business keeps growing. Obviously, they just had their big sale. They've become this global entity, and every year is bigger and better. It's like the Super Bowl every year for WrestleMania. They're on a different, they're in a different, whole different level. And then there's some legitimate competition as far as giving talent a place to work and make a good living. And they're doing their version of pro wrestling and their style, and they've got their fan base, and that's great. It's more opportunities for pro wrestlers, more spots. And then it seems like the independents are still doing well. I feel like from what I'm seeing going around doing shows, there's a lot of work out there. There's a lot of talent. It's a competitive space. Which is a good thing, and sometimes it's that makes it more difficult, right? But like I said, the talent right now and the way they're able to self promote and self market is really ahead of the game, and sometimes at the expense of like actually being like really good at their craft fundamentally. Right. Maybe not enough time is being spent doing the repetitive things that aren't so fun. To really have a good fundamental sound base of what this is at its best. Because a little more attention is being put on the things that are more fun to do, or maybe have more of an ROI, right? Like self-promoting sometimes, growing your fan base might get you more bookings than being really, really sound at some of the basic fundamentals of pro wrestling. I get it. But that's my assessment, man.
Great assessment.
What's your assessment?
I'll tell you, I absolutely love where we are right now. I love the fact that we're seeing a lot more creativity, a lot less predictability. I think that was a big issue for me, is that things were getting way too predictable, and you got to blur those lines. You got the people talk about the new age of kayfabe, and I believe in that tremendously. And I think that where we are now, with how strong the independent market is out there, Universal Championship Wrestling is huge right now. It's a great product. It's a great company, as well as others out there. You got the birth of AEW, obviously, several years ago. And I feel like it's the best it's been in decades, in my opinion. Obviously, the Attitude Era can be argued there, but I love where it's at right now. I'm super excited about it, more so than I think I've been, and I can't tell you when.
Nice. That's good to hear.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, like I said, let's talk about WrestleMania that just happened. I mean, I can remember many WrestleManias. I could sit there and predict, oh, I think this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to. I was at a loss on a lot of things, and I think it boils down to the storytelling. How are you doing that? And I feel like that was lost for a lot of years, and now I think we're starting to see people like Ron Gossett, people like Triple H, and others out there who Tony Khan, they know how to tell a story, and then you have unbelievable talent like yourself that can get in there in the ring and deliver that story with tremendous in-ring skills. And of course, you have to have that too, right? So, and we're seeing a lot of that. I mean, how much talent do we see out there now that's just unbelievable? So yeah, no, I think it's healthier than it's ever been, in my opinion. So when we talk about the legacy of Austin Aries. When fans look back on you, Austin, and they think about your tremendous career, what do you want to leave behind? What do you want them to think about when they say, when the name Austin Aries comes out of their mouth?
Oh man. Well, the whole idea and premise and legacy is kind of silly to me a little bit, right? I think at one point in my career, that stuff definitely probably resonated more with me, but I don't know. I'm at a different place. It's a different, Austin Aries, I guess, if you want to call him that, than maybe the last, 10, 15 years. So I guess if, I don't know if I think about legacy. Austin Aries, he was a truth seeker and he was a truth teller. I think what it really boils down, like that's like I've been a truth seeker and a truth teller.
Yeah, you done a great job of that.
And that doesn't always make you friends with everybody.
Right.
Doesn't always make everybody have your best interests as their best interests. But that's just I guess that's just kind of how I'm wired and I whatever else you think of me. Beyond that, that's it. I just ask a lot of questions. I ask a lot of questions.
Truth seeker, truth teller. I love that.
Yeah.
Austin, April 27th, Super Clash, Universal Championship Wrestling. Covetto will be your opponent, 7:30 bell time.
Yep.
Fans, you got to go out there, purchase a ticket, go see the unbelievable Austin Aries in the ring again so he can show you all the talent he currently has, will always have, and we'll put on one hell of a show for you. UCWTV.com is your source to go out there and purchase your ticket. Please go out there, visit the website, UCWTV.com. Get your tickets today before they sell out to go see Austin, because you do not want to miss this man in the ring showing you why he is a true legend in professional wrestling. Austin,
Come, come,
congratulations,
come,
man.
yeah, thank you. Yeah, you guys all come out, get a little taste of the magic, get a little dose of truth, right? Everyone else is going to be trying to distract you. I'm going to be there trying to help wake you up, right? Help spread a little knowledge, help share a little knowledge, right? So let's come and do that, and we'll have some fun while we're having a pro wrestling match, and we're trying to discover the truth.
Austin, man, I cannot wait to see that match. Cannot wait to see you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Congratulations, and I sincerely mean that, with everything you've accomplished in your tremendous career. You are fantastic, and I cannot wait to see you in action on April 27th.
We'll see you there. Look forward to it. Thank you.